Hey there, and welcome to another episode of the Love Offering Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Adams, and today's guest is Tara Dew. Tara is on the show chatting about overflowing joy. Whether you're facing the ordinary daily pressures of squaring away today's to-do list or an unexpected season of suffering that seems to have no end, sometimes it feels like Jesus' promise of overflowing joy is simply not within your reach for your real life. But it doesn't have to be that way. Join us to experience a truly, fully, and genuinely joy-filled life, no matter the season or circumstance. Well, hi, Tara, and welcome to the Love Offering Podcast. I'm so happy to have you.
I am so glad to be here. Thank you for letting me come join you today.
So we before we hit record, we have just found that we have lots of connections just from people that we know, which is just so much fun. And you've already been such a joy to talk to. And so I'm excited to introduce listeners to you if they don't already know you. And we're having a really fun conversation that I feel like everybody needs. And we're talking about joy. This is going to be so much fun. And so is joy a word that you would use to describe yourself typically?
Well, I don't want to sound prideful or arrogant in any way, but people often use that word to describe me. And it is something that I think since I've been a little girl, I have loved Jesus. And he has been so kind and so faithful to me for so many years that I can't help but be joyful, because no matter my circumstances, his joy, I pray, is evident in my life. And so when they was asked me to write a book, this message and this topic and this theme just really seemed to fit who I am and the passions of my heart. And so that means a lot when people do say that joy describes me.
Yeah. What a better word. I'm not sure. I pray that, you know, my ministry, I pray is love, mm-hmm. which is such a fun word to be able to live out to, as I imagine joy is for you. And so why do you think, though, that, I mean, if we're just being honest, when we think of people that are joyful, mm-hmm. not very many people come to my mind, if I'm being honest. And that is so sad, especially for us that are believers. We should be the most joyful people on the planet. And yet so many people, I believe, actually walk around joyless, including myself. I'm putting myself in this category. So why do you think that so many of us are living this way and feel like it's so out of reach?
It is. I think it's because we often fix our eyes on the wrong things. In our society today, it is so easy to constantly be looking at and filling our minds with social media, the news, politics, our circumstances. And to be honest, there's a lot of brokenness and hurt in our world right now. There's a lot of hopelessness. There's a lot of joylessness. And so if that's what we're fixing our hearts and our eyes and our minds on, then that's going to be what's evident in our life. And I think as many Christians, we are fixing our eyes on the things of this world rather than the things of God. And it's leaving us joyless. But I often tell my students here at New Orleans Seminary, or women that I get to talk to, that our eyes are powerful, and we are to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who had joy even when he was going to the cross. And then he promises that that joy can be in us. And so I often like to say, let's be women who glance at our lives, but stare at our God. And so often it's the opposite. We glance at our God in just a 5-minute quiet time, and then we stare at our lives the rest of the day, and it leaves us joyless. But if we can be women who glance at our lives and stare at our God, then he promises that his joy will be in us and that it will then be overflowing to others. John 15, verse 11. And so I think in our world today, we need to be Christians who fix our eyes on Jesus, because he is the joy.
Absolutely. Well, you mentioned it, and so I want to dive into that. So the subtitle of your book is What Jesus Says About a Joy-Filled Life, and yes. You focus on Jesus's words in John chapter 15. So That's what right. was it about this chapter that drew you to it?
So I have loved John 15 for years now. We often hear about abiding with Jesus or remaining with Jesus, and that comes from John 15. But it was a passage that I feel like was kind of thrown around in Christian circles a lot, but that I had never studied for myself. And so I was walking through John, the Gospel of John, and got to John 15 and just decided to kind of do a deep dive into John 15 and this metaphor of a gardener and vines and branches and fruit. You know, today we're so removed from a farming and an agricultural society, but Jesus's listeners wouldn't have been. They would have been people who tended the fields and grew these vines and know what it took to bear fruit. And so I really wanted to kind of put myself in that, you know, context and learn what is Jesus trying to tell us about this metaphor. And in the process, though this was a very personal study that I was doing, I began to be asked by churches to come and speak on this topic of John 15. And so time after time after time, churches were just looking to me and asking me, come and teach on this topic, whether it was on abiding or whether it was on being joyful or having this contagious joy. And so church after church were asking me, and I would either go for one session, I would teach for just the 30-minute time period, or sometimes it was for a whole weekend conference where I was doing 4 and 5 sessions on it. So when they approached me about the book, they said, what is just a passage that you love? And I said, it's John 15. It's something that God instilled in my heart as just my personal walk with the Lord. And then I've been able to just flesh it out time and time again with churches and teach these concepts to women. I said, and it's really resonating not only with me, but with other people. And so that's how this passage came to be so special to me, but also how this book came to be, because I really just took my teaching and then turned it into the book. So
I love how God works in that way. You know, this was something that you didn't strive or seek after, but that God just placed in your lap. And that's so beautiful. And that's what he does.
That's right.
And so I really want to dive into more of yep. the concepts that you studied. So you discovered 3 surprising paths to mm-hmm. a truly joy-filled life. And yes. I know we need to get your book to read and see them all in depth, but would you give us just kind of a synopsis of what are these 3 surprising paths?
Absolutely. So I like to say there's 3 P's on this pathway to finding joy. And they kind of just begin in verse 1 of chapter 15 and go all the way to verse 11, because in verse 11, Jesus says, I have told you these things so that my joy may be in you and your joy will be complete. But that word complete means full, contagious, genuine, overflowing, spilling out. So you have to ask yourself, okay, what things has he been talking about that will bring us this complete joy? And so when you go back to verse 1, verses 1 and 2 describe the first P, and that's God's pruning. And that might seem so weird to you. You might be thinking, how does his pruning bring us joy? But if you know anything about gardening, you know that a gardener who is good and who is loving will not let his plants just grow wild and get overextended and overstretched, because that's not good for the plant. So a gardener will prune back branches that have borne fruit in the past so that they will bear more fruit in the future. These are not branches that have done something wrong. These are not branches that are dead. These are branches that might have just gotten too lanky, too overextended, that their roots can't support it. And so a gardener in love and in wisdom and with intention will prune a plant back so that its roots will grow deeper and so that it will bear more fruit. And so surprisingly, we look at that and sometimes we think pruning is just a lot of loss. All we can see is what the gardener is cutting away from us. But when you look back, you can see how that pruning actually gives you more joy, because your life won't be so overextended. You won't be stretched so thin, and your root system can't support all that. And so the more he prunes, the deeper the roots go, and the deeper the roots go, the more you're dependent on the Lord and you can bear more fruit. So the first P is pruning, and that's found in verses 1 and 2 of John 15. Then Jesus describes his presence, and that's the second P. That's in verses 4 through 8. And in those verses, some translations will say, remain in me and I will remain in you. Apart from me, you can do nothing. But other times that verb is translated dwell or stay or abide. And basically, his joy is in us when we stay with him. And as Americans, we know what that concept means because we were all put on a stay-at-home order during COVID. And we were told to remain at home, right? To stay at home. But that's the same concept here that Jesus is saying, is that stay with me, dwell with me, remain with me. Just like a vine has branches, if those branches are cut off or if they get separated from the vine, they won't bear fruit. They'll die. And so he says, if you want to have joy, remain in my presence. Stay with me. Abide with me. And so that's the second P. Pruning is the first. Presence is the second. And the third one is persevering in his commands to love. And that's found in verses 8 through 12, where Jesus really says, if you love me, you will keep my commands. And in order to remain in my love, you must love one another. And so there's this outflowing that comes as he prunes us, our roots grow deeper, and it positions our hearts to be dependent on his presence. But as we stay with him and remain with him, then we allow his love to flow from him through us to other people. But I say perseverance because loving others is not always easy. And he calls us to love one another. And we have to be people who persevere in that love because some people are easy to love. But there's a lot of people in our lives that are difficult to love. But when we remember that he first loved us and that if we love him back, we're going to love other people. And there's a lot of passages in scripture all the way back to Leviticus, all the way through the Old and New Testament. 1 John is so clear. If we love him, we're going to keep his commands. And his command is to love one another. It's not a suggestion. It's not a choice for us. If we are Christians, then we will love the way he has loved us. And so those are the three P's that will bring this life of overflowing joy.
Love it. So easy to remember. Pruning, presence, and I just forgot it. What was the last P? I just said so easy to remember.
That's right. Perseverance.
Perseverance. And practice, clearly.
Practice it clearly. That's right. Practice that perseverance, right? Absolutely. So hopefully that will be easy to remember because the more he will prune our lives back, the more we realize how dependent we are and we don't want to go anywhere else. We don't want to find our joy in other things or other circumstances. We want to stay with him. And the more we stay with him, we remember who we were before we knew him. And then his love can flow through us to the people that are around us. But we got to persevere in that.
That's right. Okay. So I've got it now. Pruning and presence and perseverance. Clearly mind needs some more practice, but I want to hear really the practicality of this in your own life. How have you kind of walked through these three P's in your own life and discovered more joy within your own personal life?
Yeah. So the book is divided into these three parts. And in each part, I really do try to show how I have lived these lessons out and how my life has not been free of troubles or trials or seasons of testing. For the pruning, there's been some big job changes that required moves for our family. There's been some death of some family members that were really, really hard that pruned my dependence on them back to just being dependent on the Lord. COVID was a huge pruning time for so many families, churches, ministries, where we really had to ask ourselves, why are we doing what we're doing? And having just this hard reset kind of finances and of calendars. So I share a lot of that in the book, especially part one. I'll talk a lot about just my own personal things that have been pruned from my life and how now looking back, I can see how his joy has come, even despite those seasons of just really hard loss. And then in the second part where I talk about his presence and just staying in his presence, I try to give some really practical ways to do that. For me personally, after I read my Bible in the morning, I use post-it notes a lot, and I'll write down a verse on a post-it note and stick it where I can be seeing it often. And then his word just is like meditation all day long. I'm thinking about that verse. I'm wondering how I can apply it to my life. It's kind of like a cow chewing its cud, right? Like we are to be digesting the word of God. And the more I see it, the more I think about it. And then the more it just becomes who I am. I also love worship songs, and I love fixing my mind on the truths of scripture. And so I talk about using worship in your life, that it's not just something you do on Sunday mornings, but it needs to be a part of just your daily life. And speaking the gospel back to yourself. You know, if you have thoughts come into your mind that you know are lies, then you need to fill your mind with the truth. And so I try to constantly be staring back at my God in things I see, in things I hear, in things I'm looking at, in ways that I'm talking about him. I just want it to be something like the air I breathe in and the air I pull out to other people. And then in persevering in his command to love, I talk a lot about how so often we can become so selfish and self-centered, but the Christian life is not supposed to be that way. And so when we truly understand how we have been loved by our God, how we are, as the song says, Jesus loves me, this I know. And if we start every day that way, if we start every day knowing Jesus loves me and he saved me from all of my sin and he has released me from that bondage, then I need to be a vessel that his love comes through to other people. And that is in how we pray for them, in how we speak to them, in how we look to their interest rather than our own. That's from Philippians 2. You know, consider others better than yourselves. And so as we're constantly living in that mindset, allowing his love to flow through us to other people, it can be something as simple as dropping off flowers at a friend's house, sending a note in the mail, sending a text with a prayer that you're praying for them, you know, putting a post-it note on their desk at work that you're praying for them today and that you love them and Jesus loves them, right? It can be simple. We don't have to make it too hard, but just letting his love flow through us to other people and having our eyes open to see the people that are around us and then loving them with the love of Jesus.
Well, I love every ounce of that. I mean, that's the whole basis of the Love Offering podcast. You know, yes. God has given us his love. And so how are we going to offer that love to other people and to that's really right. Live out the greatest commandment? And you're giving us a really practical way how. But I think one of the key components to all of this is our willingness. So how would you encourage us simply to be willing?
I think it starts with prayer. Pray that God would give you a desire for him and for his word and for other people. If you pray, God, help me to love you more today, he will answer that. If you pray, God, help me to be able to speak your love to someone today, he will answer that. That's his desire for our lives. And so when we begin to pray in line with his desires, it's like dynamite. And then your eyes are open to, is this the one I'm going to talk to? Is that the one I'm going to talk to? How can I show love to this person, right? So I think it really starts with prayer, praying that God would give us the desire and the opportunity to do it. But we first have to be willing to pray that prayer. And if we are willing to pray, he will answer because it's his heart. It's his heart for our lives. It's his heart for the people that are around us. And he talks so much in scripture about how he has come to give us life and give it abundantly, how he has come to give us joy and give it overflowing, how he has come to give us love so that we can then spill that out to other people. His desire is not for us to keep it to ourselves, but to splash it out on other people. And we do that by remembering who he is and then asking him for it. Give us your life. Give us your love. Give us your joy. And then give us the opportunity to give that to other people.
Yeah. Well, it just makes me even think about like the fruit of the Spirit. As believers, we have the Holy Spirit residing in us. And so we have this fruit that we can share love, exactly, joy, right, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. I mean, joy is a fruit of the Spirit. And so it is something that we can share with the world around us.
That's right. But,
you know, something that you mentioned just even at the beginning, even in your own life, you know, your life has not been perfect and you've had really painful seasons that you've had to endure. And so, but you still believe that joy is available no matter what season or circumstance that we're in. So for the woman listening today that is just in the midst of one of those really difficult seasons right now, how would you encourage her today?
I'm so glad that you're listening, and I want you to know that God sees you. God sees the tears. God sees your prayers. God sees your heartache and what you're walking through. And not only does he see, but he is a compassionate God who cares for you. He loves you with this selfless love where he's not asking for you to give him anything. It is just who he is to love you. And so he sees, he hears, he cares, and he loves you. And he is right there with you. And so fix your eyes on him. Turn to him, cast your cares on him, because he does care for you. And remember that this is a season that you're walking through. It won't last forever. And the world that we live in today is not our home. We are going to a place that is real, where we will dwell with him in perfect unity and in perfect love. And in that place, there will be no more tears. There will be no more heartache. There will be no more pain. There will be no night or darkness at all. He is the light, and he is a God who desires to dwell with his people. And so the things of this earth may cause you heartache, but they are not forever. And one day he will make it all right. And so until then, fix your eyes on him, know of his care and of his love for you, and find your joy in your salvation, that one day you will have eternal life with him forever. And even today in your heartache, he is with you, and he will give you a joy and a hope and a peace that can only come from him.
Amen. That's so beautiful and so hope-filled. And so, Tara, this is something I've been asking all my guests this season. Just a fun question, and it can be anything that first comes to your mind. What is something that you are loving right now? A scripture, a food, a person, an activity, a product, anything. Those were lots of P's.
There's a lot of things I'm loving right now. I am in 1 John for my quiet time, and I am loving this book written by the disciple whom Jesus loved. And he's talking about so many of the things that I'm just passionate about. So I'm loving the book of 1 John. I am loving my teenagers right now. I have two sets of twins. The older set are 16. We call them the Nats, Nathan and Natalie. And my younger set of twins are 13. We call them the Sams, Samuel and Samantha. And when I was a young mom, their days were long and they were tiring. And I had four kids that were two and under. But I tell moms often, Do not be scared of the teenage years. They are awesome. And I am absolutely loving my teenagers now. We are having so much fun together. I'm teaching them how to drive. My husband and I are having conversations about crushes and just big life decisions like college and majors and what kind of spouse they want when they grow up. And we always throw in there, we can't wait to be grandparents. So find the right mate and get married and then give us some grandbabies because we're so excited. But I'm loving First John. I'm loving my family right now. And I love my city. We live in the city of New Orleans. And so often it gets such a bad rap from the media and everything. But I want to tell you, God is doing something amazing in our city of New Orleans. He is capturing the hearts of people who have found themselves at the end of themselves in total brokenness and despair. They have tried to find their happiness and their love and their joy in all the wrong places. And so when people come to New Orleans, it's often for drugs or alcohol or promiscuity or whatever, but we are finding that they are open to the gospel and we are seeing Jesus just radically transform lives. Churches are being planted in our city. Women and men are being broken free of addictions that they've had for years. And so it is an exciting time to be at New Orleans Seminary and to be in the city of New Orleans and just seeing what God does in the lives of people, where He takes broken, blind people, and He gives them His amazing grace, and He lets them see. And so those are three things that I'm loving right now, and that are just bringing me a lot of joy in my life.
Well, so Tara, we didn't discuss this before we hit record. So I have two teenagers. One is 15 and one is 13. And so We're kind of in the midst of that season too and loving it as well. But now I've not been to New Orleans. I mean, I was a middle schooler, and so I need to go back. And so listen, does everybody, I don't know that we even talked about this either. Are you actually you said you're a teacher, you're a professor at the seminary?
I am. So my husband's the president and I am an adjunct professor. I do a lot of classes in the Ministry to Women program. So we have a lot of women here at the seminary, but if they want to specifically study how to minister to women, I get to teach a lot of those classes. And then I also direct a program for pastors' wives, just so that they can be equipped and trained for the ministry as well. And so I do a lot of classes in that program. And so please come visit us. We would love to have you come visit our city. We'd love to show you how to have eyes for this city, because we often say, if you can do ministry in the city of New Orleans, you can do it anywhere. And if God was to send a revival to the city of New Orleans, it would spread everywhere. And so we're so grateful that God has placed a seminary right here in the middle of this city. We've got over 100 nationalities in our city. There are over 80 languages that are spoken. Our port for the Mississippi River is where 80% of the products that come into the United States come through. And so we are a very influential city for art, for culture, for music, for food. And so we're just praying, God, would you just take a hold of this city and let your gospel light spread everywhere? And so it is a joy to serve here. We've been here for 4.5 years and absolutely love it here.
Well, I want to take some of your classes. We're going to have to talk about that at some point too.
Yes, come check us out.
I know we both love God and God's word so much. And so as we start to come to a close, is there a biblical concept based on this topic of joy and love, which you've covered so much of already? And so if there's anything else that comes to mind that I just would love to hear as we close, if there's a biblical concept on love and joy that you would want to share with us.
Absolutely. God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever believes in Him would not perish, but have eternal life. And it's a verse, John 3:16, that we often memorize when we're little kids, but I never want us to get over the concept that this mighty God who created this entire world with a word loves us. And He knows our names and He knows the hairs on our head. And He sent His Son to die the death that we deserved, to die on the cross for our sins, for my sins, so that in Him we would have this life that is eternal. And in him, we find life and love and joy and peace and happiness. And so may we be people who never get over the gospel, that there is a God who loves us, who sent Jesus to die for us so that we can live with him forever.
Beautiful. Well, on that note, Tara, would you pray for us and pray joy and love and peace and all the things over everyone listening?
Absolutely. Pray with me. Our dear Heavenly Father, we praise you that you are the God of life. You are a God who is himself love, who is light and in whom there is no darkness at all. Thank you, God, for your forgiveness to us. We are unworthy. We are undeserving. And so many times we love and we run to things that are shiny and glittery in the moment, but will not fulfill us. Forgive us, Lord, for those idols. Forgive us for the places where we have fallen short of you. And Lord, we praise you, because you are a God of grace and mercy, and you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And so, Lord, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that lives inside of us and that gives us a joy and a love that this world so desperately knows and needs to hear. And so, Lord, we pray. I pray for the listeners that are here today. I pray that you would give them a nearness of your presence, that they would feel your closeness to them no matter what they're going through. And that in your words from John 15, we would learn to trust you as our gardener, to fix our eyes on you as you are pruning us, to be women and men who are dependent on you, who will stay with you, and who will allow your love to flow through us to a world that needs it so desperately. So open our eyes to see those around us that need your truth. Give us your words. Give us the actions that belong to you, Lord, and may they see your love in us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, Tara, I know I want to stay connected with you. I'm sure listeners are going to want to stay connected with you and purchase a copy of your book, Overflowing Joy. So tell us how we can best do that.
So the book can be found on any place that you buy books from, on Lifeway.com, on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Borders. It can be found anywhere you buy a book. There is a specific website for the book. It's overflowingjoybook.com. And on that, you can find images, you can find discussion guides. There's a 5-day YouVersion devotional plan that you can subscribe to. So there's a lot of free resources on that website. In addition, you can find out more about me, my speaking schedule, if I'm coming somewhere near you, by following my author page on Facebook. It's just Tara Du. And on that, I post some encouraging videos, places that I'll be speaking. And so I would love to meet you face to face. In addition, if you're interested in theological education, if you'd like to take one of my classes, all of these classes are offered here at New Orleans Seminary, but they can also be found online. And so check out nobts.edu, or if you're specifically a woman, prepareher.com is everything that we have for women, because we really do want to prepare her, whoever that her may be. And so we offer a yearly conference, we offer ministry wives classes, we offer women academic programs, and also some campus life events for women, because we just desire to come alongside women and prepare them however God is calling them. And so however I can serve you all, please let me know. I would love to stay connected. And I really do pray that this book blesses you as you learn how to have a contagious, overflowing joy.
Wonderful. Well, I'll be sure to include all those links in the show notes. I'm interested in quite a few of them. And so, Tara, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for all your biblical wisdom. Thank you just for who you are as a person. And thank you for just encouraging us in this message. You really are a joy. And I pray that we all overflow that everywhere we go and with every person we meet. So thank you so much.
Right. You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode with Tara Dew. We hope that today filled your heart with joy and you can overflow that joy to all those around you. If you're interested in show notes, you can head on over to @RachelAdamsAuthor on Instagram or Facebook. I'd love to connect with you there. I'd also love to connect with you over on rachelkadams.com. There you can subscribe to receive your weekly love offering newsletter, and all of this information can go straight to your inbox each week. You can also listen to previous podcast episodes, you can read the blog series, and you can download free resources like the Love Offering Calendar. I would love to gift that to you for free. And again, you can find that at rachelkadams.com/free. Next week, my guest is Rachel Scott. She is on the show chatting about her book, Taking the Five Leaps, as we chat about transition seasons. I can't wait to chat with you again then, but until then, I hope you have a terrific week. And as always, remember to lead with love.